Misty and Me is a story of two powerful women, one at the end of her life and the other at the beginning. As Bette Davis aged, she was looking for an assistant, but she found something more than that in Catherine Cermak. Catherine, welcome to Talk Radio Europe here in Spain.
Oh, thank you ever so much. And yes, I love Spain and we love Europe.
That's nice to hear. Now, you're referred to as a loyal and loving buddy, a co-conspirator in her jokes and schemes, and a competent assistant whom she trained never to miss a detail. Now, Bette Davis, I mean, it's a legend, isn't it? I mean, and so all of this, I suppose when you started, must have had a major effect on the way you thought your life was going to go from that point on.
Not really.
Not really.
I know looking back, it looks that way. But you have to remember, when I started off, I did not know who Miss Davis was.
Okay, that's probably a big help, actually.
You know what? I think so. Actually, back then, I didn't know the film industry. I didn't have the luxury of seeing films. Mm-hmm. I grew up with... there were five children in my family, and so I grew up strongly with the work ethic and that you had to study, get good grades, mm-hmm. and I was studying to be a doctor, so it's a far cry from the film industry.
Indeed. So you were an innocent.
Innocent in the way of not knowing who she was, or naive, probably. It was just a very, very different. I was more into sports, mm-hmm. athletic. I always wanted to see the world. My senior year of college was in Madrid. So I think by the time and after Madrid, I went to France. So by the time Misty met me, she was my ticket to go back to Europe.
I see.
That's what it wasn't about Miss Davis at that moment until after 4 months working for her.
Mm-hmm,
then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden I saw a whole new world out there and I was hungry for it.
Well, I can understand because obviously here was a woman who was obviously, she is a legend sort of in her own lifetime. It was just astonishing what a lot of people still think about her. And in the next few days back here in Europe, we're going to be about seeing a new TV series called Feud, which explores the relationship between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford. They filmed the 1962 movie Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Of course, that's a masterpiece and a classic in itself. Did you find when you, after a few months, and obviously she was moulding you because she had strict rules for you about everything from how to eat a salad to wear your hair, even the spelling of your name was changed, adding in the Y, per Miss Davis's request. Did you feel comfortable with that, or did you just sort of take it in your stride?
No, totally, because you have to understand, I really wanted to see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say in my book, hell, even though I do believe when you are 20, you think, and I think to this day it's fair to say, you think you know everything. And somebody in their 70s, I felt like I need to get her up to speed. But little by little, I also knew, because Helen Ann kept telling me, it's like, study, this woman knows so much, you can learn so much about the world from her. And I knew Helen Ann was an artist, and she was worldly. And I knew, by then, I knew Helen Ann. She was my ex-boyfriend's mother, and she was very wise. And so then the rest just takes on a life of its own, because Miss Davis was very practical.
Okay.
And the reason she taught me these things, because she had to learn it the hard way.
Yep, yep.
And if I didn't learn it, she said there are areas of society, they will cut you off. They judge you by how you hold your spoon. And she wanted me to be able to go anywhere in the world, feel very comfortable. If you need it, you can use it. Mm-hmm. If you never need to use it, that's fine. That's a wonderful, wonderful gift to give somebody.
Sure, sure. Yeah, she's sort of a role model for
you then,
wasn't she?
She was, oh, she was my mentor. She was very, very supportive of women. I never had to ask for a raise, and she never threw me beyond what I was capable of handling.
Could you hear
very different than if you, excuse me, but different because she once said, you know, that whole thing with Princess Di, and after the marriage, and there was the press and the paparazzi and always hounding her. It's only because nobody taught her. And Miss Yue said, that is up to the Queen Mother, you know, or somebody in that household, because Miss Davis never threw me out into the public until I was ready, and she felt when I was ready.
Well, Catherine, that's a very interesting point you've raised there, because of you obviously aware that Prince Harry has just got engaged to his American sweetheart, his fiancée, Meghan Markle. And, of course, she is American. She's been in a TV series called Suits. She's so accomplished. She knows how to handle the press. She knows what to do and how to look and how to talk because she's had those experiences, and it's showing through so much here in Europe that she's got that talent, or in fact her life her life understanding. And it's quite impressive, and it's a very interesting thing you say that, because it's so true.
Well, as Ms. Dee would say, everybody has a job to do. And even though, and I would think if Ms. Davis was here, she would say the same thing. You know, love is love, and that is wonderful. But now, if you are going to be into the household of royalty, you have a job to do. Just like I had a job to do, Ms. C, meaning there is the press. You know what? The press have a job to do. That means you, it's your job to give them an interview. Mm-hmm. It's your job to do your homework. It's your job to be photographed, because they're just like anybody else. They have a family to feed. They have to put have rent to pay and show respect. And I think that is why the press always understood Ms. G. Every time we went to a huge event, first and foremost, we stopped with the fans. You know, see her fans, because that is your bread and butter. Mm-hmm. And she would sign. She never said, oh, $300 for a photograph. She always took the time to acknowledge her fans. And then you go to, then usually if it's a huge event, then there's the photographers. Well, we would separate. You might have 300 photographers, so you put them in different groups. And she knew enough to strike different poses. If you do the same thing every, you're gonna, only one person is gonna get the photograph. You have to do different photographs, different poses. And then the same with an interview. You can be promoting a film or what have you, but there are so many different stories. So just make sure you give whoever it is you're interviewing a different story.
Remarkable. There's incredible insight, because obviously a lot of us sort of always had the impression that she was a very difficult person to live with, to be near, to do anything with. But in fact, you're saying quite the opposite.
Exactly. Absolutely. I couldn't be with somebody like that for 10 years. But Ms. Davis was very, very private. And what I learned afterwards is, because she was so private, but she knew who she was, the public so adored all the characters she played, and they thought, okay, that's who the woman is. Ms. Davis was not actor studio. She did not play herself. She always said, acting is bigger than life, and it comes from deep within, and you create a character. And she did so much research, at least when I was with her, and she's from that different era. Sir Laurence Olivier, she was trained way back via the studio system, and it's so different than today.
Well, of course, that is it in a nutshell, because she was acting, and she basically created her performances, which everybody came to believe as her. And I suppose that's quite understandable, and that is the sheer brilliance of the performance.
Well, look at some of your greatest. I mean, as she would always say, from Richard Burton to the first film she made. I don't know her history. I always leave the history to other people, because doing the work that I did, I never had time to speak no. with them. Neither did she. When you're working, you're working. And you're before the picture is over, you're on to your next project and wherever you're going.
Well, you said about the travel, and of course the framework of the story in the book is about a four-day road trip that you took with Miss Davis through Biarritz to Paris, during which you disentangled the furious dependency in that sort of trip you did. So it gave
well, that,
you a great
that
insight.
Happened. Right, excuse me, but that happened because of the stroke.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
Davis was very, very independent. And if she did not have that stroke, it would have been, you know, something very different.
Indeed.
But you, before then, she had a mastectomy. And I think she was 75 years old. And then you have a stroke. And it was mm-hmm. not just a light stroke. This was a devastating stroke where they basically said she had 3 weeks to live.
Yeah, yeah.
So to fight back at 75, let me tell you, and back then nobody was talking about stroke.
No.
You know,
no,
and
right.
and if you've ever seen somebody, well, now we have new technology.
Chill.
But you know, then that's not what you had. You know, we didn't have all the lasers and all it was a ferocious two-fight. Back in many times she wanted to give up. It's like she's had all the awards. You know, let her go. She wanted to go, and I can totally understand that. But she didn't. So if you didn't, then I always said, God has you here for a reason. We need to figure it out, which is why this and that happened. And then it was a real fight back. Think mm-hmm. of when you have your hand, and as I say in the book, it took 4 months just to take your little pinky and your thumb to get them to move again.
Yes.
Basically, that whole left side. Which is what I say. The first 5 years, she taught me. The second five, it's like she had to learn to talk again, walk again. All of that is a huge struggle.
Sure, sure. And but she had you to help her through it.
Yeah. Oh, she had an incredible spirit, and I think anybody who met her, you could see that. When, not in the beginning, but at little by little, it builds, and it builds. And you do baby steps. And before you know it, 3 years after the stroke, you look at her or look at when we were right before she passes, you would never have known. I certainly didn't. Neither did she. She looked the greatest I'd seen her in years.
Mm-hmm,
she
mm-hmm.
just, those last few days in San Sebastian, they were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gave that press conference, I don't know if you have seen it. Probably since you're in Spain, some of the people have the documentary, Betty Davis Bids Farewell. And there she is at the press conference. Over 300 foreign press. And she only had to do an hour. She stayed for 2.5 hours. And sharp and funny. It was incredible.
Well, Catherine, you've had an illustrious career, and of course you are co-founder of the Betty Davis Foundation, and you're also a co-executor of the Betty Davis Estate. So you remain very close to her in since she's passed. And you've also been personal assistant to H.H. Princess Shams Pahlavi, French actress Isabella Adjani, yes, and statesman and journalist Pierre Salinger, and astronaut Dr. Buzz Aldrin, and Motown founder Berry Gordy Jr. You're sure your life has been pretty full, hasn't it?
I've been very blessed. I've been very blessed. To have worked for those people, and each one brings, you know, teaches you something different. As Miss Davis said, you know, after she passed, many people came but she had to once told me, you know, when you learn from somebody like that, there's no way you can go work for another actress or actor because when you work for the best, there's nowhere to go. But everyone, when I worked for it started with Princess Pahlavi, not intentionally, only because I could speak Spanish and English at the time, but it's through that job that Miss D heard about me, and so she thought I was much older, and figured I traveled, you know, all around Europe. Well, I did. She just didn't know it was via backpack or one suitcase, not like five-star hotels. Mm-hmm. So she soon found that out. But as I say, and Dr. Buzz Aldrin, he taught me everything about the universe. So there's always a trade-off. After that, it's like, I know the marketing. I can do this for you. And mm-hmm. in return, it's like, okay, I'm going to teach you there.
Well,
so
I have
they, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I have to congratulate you on what must be a wonderful life. And, I mean, obviously now here you are with this book, Misty and Me, A Life with the Invincible Bette Davis. You're authored along with, is it Danielle Morton? You co-authored the book.
My co-author. She's extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like an extraordinary book, and I'd certainly sort of look forward to having an opportunity to read it myself as well. And obviously, just with the notes, it's quite fascinating to read. And I have to say, Catherine, it's been a real pleasure having you on the station, on the program today. And I have to say that I'm really looking forward...
I can't thank you enough, truly. I just wish I was there.
Would it be nice? Yes. I said I'm looking forward to seeing this new series called Feud, which is about, as I say, Bette Davis and Joan Crawford when they filmed the Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, and Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange, along with Catherine Zeta-Jones, and of course Olivia de Havilland, who's still alive. She's 101 years old. So that should be quite an interesting sort of project to view. And I was thinking of you when I watch it, and thank you so much for actually sort of educating me about Bette Davis.
Right, if I may say one thing, thank you very much. But if I will say one thing, I will always thank Ryan Murphy for mm-hmm. the feud, but do not take the feud as a documentary.
Right.
You will absolutely, Miss Davis, that was created by Warner Brothers.
Okay.
You know, Miss Davis had great respect for Joan Crawford. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it is not a documentary, as you well know. Mr. Havilland is suing them.
I know, yes, I was about to say that.
Portraying her. So it is, but what it is, and I think as he says, it's entertaining. It
sure.
does not mean
it's a drama.
Truthful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
but it is great because they reintroduce Miss Davis and Joan Crawford into a whole new medium. And certainly out here, the millennials mm-hmm. all now watching Turner Classic Movies mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. they're getting back and becoming very well educated. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole new turnaround.
Well, also, of course...
So I hope you all enjoy it.
Thank you. And I also just tell you that, of course, this week the Golden Globes have been announced, and The Feud is getting quite a lot of nominations. So I say it's going to be interesting to watch. And I take your point, it's a drama and not a documentary. Catherine Samark, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And just remind our listeners that, of course, you can find the book at Amazon, and you can find it in there, and also because it's published by Hatchet Books. Once again, thank you so much indeed for joining us today.
Oh, thank you ever so much for having me.